G'day, it's Graham from the Confident Man Project here, and lately I've been having a bit of a look at Tantra as a way of boosting my own self-confidence, and so I've got a special guest today that I'm very interested in talking to. He's a tantric practitioner named David Anderson from tantricblossoming.com, and I'm really looking forward to picking his brains on how men can use some of these tantric tools and techniques that I'm starting to hear about to boost their confidence. So welcome, David.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
So tell me, how did you first get into this whole Tantra thing?
Well, I started off doing some rebirthing and breath work, which is one of the most deepest healing modalities. And I noticed one day that I had an interaction with a woman at work who was my boss. And I just sat down back at my desk going, wow, I need some help. So, and I was having a hard time in life anyway at that stage. So I ran off and did 5 or 6 years of rebirthing, and within that, one of my teachers mentioned a tantric master in America, and I went and listened to him for 2 days over Skype. He's in America. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty confronting to me, having never had any notion around masculinity and how a man should behave. So it took me a couple of years to keep doing my breath work and, you know, dredging up my own psychology. And then I was living with a female partner of mine, and, you know, I was confronted by sex and sexuality. She was far more sexual than me, and I didn't know what to do about it. So I went and I'd heard about Martina Hughes at tantricblossoming.com, and I went and did some sessions with her. Mm-hmm. And a little while later, I broke up with my partner, and then I was offered a 9-month training on Tantra. So I took that, and really the underlying thing is that I was fortunate enough to know that there was something missing.
Okay.
And realized that it was my next step in my own development, the tantric side of things.
Right. Now, I'm interested that you say that it was an interaction with a woman, and relationships with women were particularly bringing this up, because that sounds pretty typical of what a lot of guys that I hear, and from my own experience struggling in relationships with women, is that that's kind of where the pain comes up.
Yep.
Is that making sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. It is what most men have an issue with. Mm. And the big issue is that most men are afraid of women. They're actually afraid to upset a woman. They're afraid for a woman to be emotional in their presence. And it's really about showing up. It's really about just being present with all those things. And most men don't have the capabilities. And please, I'm not dissing men, because, you know, this is what I'm on about. I'm on about having men be more capable with all this stuff. But in my own process, yeah, I just couldn't cope with a woman telling me what to do and being a certain way with me, and I would retreat energetically. I'd actually leave energetically. It'd still be in the relationship, but in the back of my mind going, why is she being rude to me? This isn't happening and that isn't happening. I'm really unhappy. But I didn't have the fortitude or the understanding or the communication skills to say, hey, this is going on and this is how I'm feeling about it.
Right. So a lot of it does seem to come down to just communication skills, because women tend to run rings around men when it comes to their ability to communicate.
Yeah.
But is there something deeper that's going on than that? I mean, why is it that so many guys are struggling to get the sort of relationships with women or attract the kind of women that they want in their life?
Mm. Well, unfortunately, Graham, I think that most of the men who might listen to this won't like the answer.
Okay, which could be a hint that it might be the right answer, actually.
That's correct. Well, I didn't like it either. I resisted this for years. And it is that we are still emotionally, and I'm using me as well because I'm still learning. Mm. And everything I say today is about me as well.
Yeah.
We are stuck emotionally, and this goes for women as well, Graham. This is not just men. This is women as well, but we're talking about men, okay? So we as men are stuck emotionally back with mum.
Right.
Okay, so, and this is where, and this is the big picture, and this is where body shame comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from, and it also, the other thing that we are afraid of women is mum, because the underlying psychology of a boy and a girl, but we're talking about men, of a boy is that when you're born, if you are alone, you'll die. So therefore, if you are with your mother, you're okay, you're loved. Mm. That's like firstborn, on the boob, on the chest, eye contact, all those bigger picture things. And the fear is that if mum doesn't love us, we'll be alone and we'll die. So therefore, we do anything and everything to get the attention and therefore love of mum.
Got it. Yeah.
Mm. So therefore, we are still stuck in that until you go through a process and dredge out or dig up or realize on a bigger level, like a DNA level or a real fundamental core belief level, that, oh, wow, okay. And then you go and talk to your mum. In my process, my rebirthing teacher was really big on, you're running a story about your mum. She wasn't this, she wasn't that, whatever, in your head, in my head. You need to go and tell her that. And it's like, you're joking, aren't you?
I can totally relate to this.
Yeah, and I actually did that. They're in Melbourne and I live in Sydney. And I'd been away on a weekend and Grandma had passed away, who was 96 or 7, no big deal, which was mum's mum. So I had to go to Melbourne for the funeral. And on the day after the funeral, I sat her down and said, hey, you know, are you open to a really upfront and honest conversation about how I felt when I was growing up?
Uh-huh.
And I told her. And she received it very well.
She did.
Yeah, we cried a lot, but I had to own it. I didn't say you're a crap mother.
Yeah.
What I did was I felt a certain way. I felt like this when I was growing up, and I felt like that. So you talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Because you think about your mum. Your mum does the best she can do.
Yeah.
You come from her. Why would she do anything to hurt your feelings? She's doing the best she can do with her skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I told mum, and I've done that 4 or 5 times over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's worked really well for me. And plus the tantric work, realizing that if all women in my world are a reflection of mum,
mm-hmm,
and affect me emotionally like my mum did, then yeah, I'm kind of blown away, aren't I? I really need to do some work on that.
Right. Okay. There's like 10 questions in my head, but one thing, because I've been down a similar path and it didn't go so well for me. But one thing that you mentioned there was that you had 4 or 5 goes, like it didn't happen all in one hit.
Oh, yeah, no. It went, I had 4 or 5 goes only because certain other things came up.
Right.
Because I was still doing rebirthing and breath work and really dredging up memories and realizing that such and such, you know, happened. And I've done this with my dad as well.
Uh-huh.
He didn't come onto the radar until later on. But yeah, it is a process. And there gets a point where you don't have to ring her and say, I felt like this, this, and this. You just go, oh, cool. I'm now realizing how I felt. That's great.
Ah, okay.
But you do need to have a conversation with your mum.
All right. And so you've hinted that this stuff that we have about our mother that maybe we're in a bit of denial about or we don't really want to face, that we're projecting that onto all the other women in our life.
Correct.
So it's pretty important to kind of get that handled, right?
Absolutely. It's so important to realize that your mum's relationship with you runs your female life, like the feminine and the people you attract into your life. And as soon as you start dealing with it and taking responsibility with it, it's really clear that you attract a different person into your life.
Uh-huh.
A different woman who may or may not, you know, she as a feminine, as a female, she will still press you and push you because she needs to know that you are trustable or strong or have internal strength and it's not just about money. That's why women push you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know the answers. And when you step up to the plate and say, hey, you know, it's okay, come here, sit down, talk to me and be strong, they go, oh, he's strong, cool. And then they stop pestering you or pushing you.
Right. So this has been a real learning exercise for me, learning what you've just said, because I can see now there are a lot of times in my life where women have tested me or nagged me or just kind of been weird, like made me and yeah, reminded me of my mother, right? Which obviously freaked me out because I hadn't dealt with my mother issues. But at the time I was just like, I would feel hurt and wounded and like, why are you acting this way? Like, why are you being so mean to me? Like, you've been like my mother.
Yeah, correct.
Whereas now, because I'm learning some of the same stuff you're talking about, I'm seeing they were just saying, is this guy a man yet? Like, has he grown up? Like, can I trust this guy?
Yeah, they're actually sorting themselves out by pushing you. If you're into all this stuff, you will have heard of David Data.
Yeah, one of my favourite teachers.
Yeah, correct. Mine too. From the masculine, I'm not entirely sure he's entirely right with the feminine, but I'm not a woman, so, you know. But in the way of the superior man, he talks about a man who comes home and says to his wife, honey, all that stuff I've been working on forever and I've now made $1 million. And she says, did you bring the milk? And he says, but honey, we're rich. And he says, all those things I've been working on. She said, yeah, I know, you're never home. So, you know, she doesn't care about the money.
Mm.
She wants to know that he's still strong and still loves her and is not going to be just some airy-fairy, fancy, rich dude. She wants to know that she can trust him, that he's going to listen to her, like, where's the milk? And, you know, his response in the example was, you are? But we're rich now. And he was just blown away because he wasn't being masculine. And David Data alludes to the correct response there. You don't take that on. You say, yeah, I'll get you some milk. You come here. And he puts his arm around her and he holds her and he says, you know, I love you. I've been working so hard for you. Fantastic. And, yeah, he doesn't take it on. He's still within himself. He's not blown away by her behavior.
Yeah.
Because she wants to know that he's still the same dude just because he's got $1 million in the bank.
Right. So he's not saying that the business is not important to him. He's saying, look, this is important to me, but I still love you. Like, you're really important to me as well.
Of course. She's pushing him to go, okay, great, you're rich, but you're still a dude I've married.
Right. And another thing, like you mentioned that they, when a woman senses that a man's really present and that he's really loving and he's still there for her, she doesn't have to test him as much. But another comment that Data made in his book was that it never goes away.
No, it doesn't.
Not completely.
No, it doesn't. That's right. It could be, I'm in a relationship which is very new. It's really just flourished at the start of this year and we've been dating for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching how I retreat at times energetically and go, whoa, what am I doing? And then go, okay, I'm back. And that's because she's pushing me. That's because she's wanting to know. And senses, unfortunately, I think most women are very good energy readers.
Yeah.
Sensing you, whether you're present or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because women tend to be very intuitive and can tell where a guy's coming from and whether he's really manning up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or whether he's faking it.
Yeah, in my experience lately, since I've been doing this work with Martina from tantricblossoming.com,
mm-hmm.
and one of the other ladies, Alison Petrie, works there as well with me, and just watching them call me and go, okay, what are you doing? What do you mean? I'm here, aren't I?
Okay.
And then I have to go, am I here? Yeah, actually, I'm not. Good call. Right, I'm back. So, yeah.
So it's actually important to have women in your life that can call you when you're not being present or when you're not in your masculine, yes. Whatever it is.
Yes, it is. Because if you're interested in learning about yourself and not being defensive about that, that's what a real masculine man is up for in my opinion and in my world. A masculine man goes, yeah, you're right, I'm really not present.
Uh-huh. And,
so if someone's calling you on it, that's good. I'm up for being called on it. Don't get defensive. Look into yourself and learn.
Right, and that sounds a bit counterintuitive at first because you think that a strong man would be defensive, like he'd have good defenses, right?
Go back to mum and dad as your child. Don't cry, get up, you're not hurt. Boys don't cry. Be a tough guy, be a soldier, stand up. We are kind of built up to be tough, built up to be somewhat have defenses around being masculine and manly.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not up for that. I'm up for, man, I'm really in pain because I've negated myself all my life.
Oh, right. And now you're talking about being honest with people about that.
Absolutely. I'm upfront and honest, and if I am hurting and I am in pain, fair enough. I don't want to be walking around with my heart on my sleeve, but in a relationship with a woman, there are times where I get to be not as masculine, and what she says, the man gets to put his sword down, and that's where the feminine comes and nourishes him and loves him and looks after him because he's feeling a bit whatever, you know, might be having a bad day, something he really worked for didn't happen. And that's where the two come together. She nourishes him and loves him. And then the next day he gets up with his sword again and goes, right, cool, I'm back on.
Uh-huh. So was there a moment in your life where you suddenly realised that this was missing, or you some crisis point or some sort of dramatic, like, aha moment where you realised that you hadn't been showing up most of your life?
It was pretty recent, actually. I'd been showing up a lot in the rebirthing and breathwork sessions, but no one in breathwork and in that modality, no one talks about masculine or feminine energy. Mm-hmm. So I think the first time would be around when I was doing the 9-month training.
Yeah.
And they talked about feminine and masculine dynamics, and there was a big list of what a masculine man is and what a feminine woman is and the healthy versions.
Uh-huh.
And then the unhealthy versions, like an unhealthy masculine man is not so much dynamic, but dominant,
mm-hmm.
aggressive, belittling, arrogant. That's an unhealthy masculine. Whereas a healthy masculine is dynamic, assertive, single focused at a certain point, structured, planning. So there's healthy and there's unhealthy.
Right. And how do these masculine and feminine energies you're talking about, like, how do they kind of show up? Like, so you've described how the masculine ones show up, I suppose. Mm-hmm. How does the feminine stuff work?
The feminine, unhealthy feminine is needy. like really needy, not just needing hug or needing the man to be around, but needy. If I could explain needy, probably constantly wanting approval, constantly wanting a man around, her man around, and not being creative, not listening, and not being, and negating her feminine essence. Like, for example, the biggest thing that really hits me that I've heard is women on the pill who take the pill past their period and just can keep taking the pill so they don't have a period.
Uh-huh.
That's so unhealthy from a feminine point of view.
Okay.
So the healthy feminine is creative, nurturing, loving. She is a listener. And she connects with everything and everybody. The earth, flowers, trees, animals, man. That's the healthy.
Uh-huh. Now, I noticed while you were talking there, a couple of those traits that you mentioned in the unhealthy feminine, neediness and wanting approval, are two things I've struggled with a lot of my life, and that I see other guys walking around with this kind of neediness, like wanting women to like them, wanting their approval. Like, how does that translate when a man starts showing those traits?
How does it translate? I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, you said that those traits were unhealthy for a woman to have, the sense of, you know, overly needy, wanting approval from other people all the time. Mm. But like when men start showing those unhealthy feminine traits, like that doesn't seem to work so well in the world, right?
Well, no, it doesn't. It's still an unhealthy masculine trait as well, being needy and wanting approval. If he's being needy and wanting approval, go back to the mum example. He would have been needy and wanting approval of mum.
Yeah.
And he's doing it still. So he hasn't quite grown up.
Uh-huh. And where do you start? Like, if a guy's in this kind of situation, he's sensing that the women are around... I think a lot of guys are confused because they don't even know why it is that the women around them don't seem to be interested in them.
Okay, sorry. Can I answer that first?
Yeah, go.
Because you energetically are not showing up.
Right. So what does that look like?
Confidence, lack of fear, courage.
The full interview is available as part of the Confident Man program at confidentman.net/program.